Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nyssen. The last stage recap of this year's Tour de France. I'm pretty excited. I mean, the last 10 stages have been a little bit muted, but today I really enjoyed it, even though some people don't like the procession. I love the last half an hour of this. It's the traditional stage. Whatever it is, 100Ks, doesn't matter. They do like the first 2 hours at 17Ks an hour. It's all about the last 40Ks or an eight-lap circuit of around the Louvre and Champs-Élysées. The finish is about 300 meters or a few hundred meters longer than normal out of the last chicane right-hander. So you can move up some spots out of that right-hander. You don't need to be third or fourth wheel necessarily. Favorites of the stage were obviously Cavendish, Vaupenaar, Philipsen, and a big drop-off from there. We're hoping Greipel could get a good result. I just want to give, before we get into it, a big shout-out to Lacolle, our show partner at the start. They've supported us, and Benji reminded me, you know, we only started this podcast less than a year ago. And before, it's grown amazingly thanks to all your support as well. But before it had grown, Lacolle got on board. They enjoyed what we were doing, our technical analysis, and they have a technical focus on performance cycling apparel as well. So if you want to use our discount code LRTDF20 during the last few days of this Tour de France or the next day or so, you can get in now and use that for 20% off all already discounted items. So thanks to Lacolle for supporting the podcast. But Benji, I think you watched some of the ceremonials, allegedly. Is there anything really of note that happened?
I think I watched about 20 seconds of the initial, like, 80 kilometers, but I did watch interesting things because every time I was watching, I noticed something that I probably just coincidentally saw a fun moment. I thought in the initial parts, you always have that champagne moment where they go to the front with the entire team of UAE. They had special shirts on today. I like them, to be honest. It's kind of different. Kind of looks like they're
the sky ones, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. With a yellow line in the middle. Kind of reminded me of their NCs that are horrendous, but anyway, to be honest, the initial like champagne part is always pretty boring to me. I feel like that's for after the race, but that's a personal take. But the action pretty much started when they went to the front with three riders, the Slovenians, Mohoric, Mezgec, and Pogacar. Well, action. And they pulled out, Mohoric pulled out the race number of Roglic out of his back pocket. And that was honestly really surprising. And half of Twitter was like saying, oh, this is odd. Half of it was like, this is so cute. And I'd like to know your respected opinion of it.
I mean, it's kind of like, did Roglic die? Like, why are they doing an in memoriam thing? I know they didn't mean it in that way. And I mean, yeah, maybe he liked it. It's nice, I guess. Maybe are the Slovenian riders all friends? A lot of media assume they're all friends. Maybe they're not. I mean, we're... The podcast is big in Slovenia. We love all the Slovenian fans. Could you let us know? Because sometimes, you know, you can make an incorrect assumption that just because people are on the same nationality or raced a lot together that they are friends. But it was a nice gesture, the intent of it, just a little bit odd, especially because Jumbo-Visma, you don't need to really feel that sorry for them at this Tour de France, to be honest. They're doing exactly. Really, really well. Anyway, the other weird thing I noticed was Movistar, who... Last time they were on the front of the race was for about 10 minutes chasing Carapaz on stage 7. The next time they're on the front of the race on TV was today for like an hour with Valverde sitting with two riders in front of UAE. I was like, guys, you're what, sixth on GC, didn't win a stage, didn't win a jersey, didn't win the team's classification. I know that we think it's a bit of a joke, but it's TV time. Get the fuck out of there. It's UAE time and go to the back. That's my respective view on. I think they were just trying to be cheeky and take up camera time. But anyway, on to the actual circuit.
Wait,
other stuff in the ceremony.
Was big action. I don't know if it was already on the circuit or just beforehand, but there was this moment where Gilbert was doing something and moving to the front. I'm not sure whether it was in his attack when the circuit started or just beforehand. And he actually got caught by a speed camera. So a bit of an anecdote. He's probably going to get a fine.
He's going to prison.
He's going to prison. Yeah, no, probably not. But I found that a funny moment. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, back to the circuit, I guess.
So my feelings for today were that you can put the Deceuninck to beat the Deceuninck train, and maybe this doesn't apply to Jumbo Visma because they don't have the riders. You need to put them under a little bit of pressure beforehand to make Alaphilippe Asgreen and Ballerini chase beforehand, so that they don't have five guys stacked up with 1500 to go, which at that point you're done. And that's exactly what happened. We saw Purstelberger and Pollitt, literally the two guys we mentioned yesterday, both at the same time trying to attack. We then saw big attacks, Quickstep getting in those moves because it was like eight dangerous riders. They had Asgreen and Alaphilippe in it. And when we saw, was it maybe Jonas Rutsch trying, but then it was Benji's favorite rider, Valgren, getting in a move with Harry Sweeney. Brent Van Moor got in some moves as well. But the first one was, I think, Sweeney,
and Gilbert, right?
Yeah. I keep getting the teams confused. There was a break of four. One of them was Casper Pedersen in the group of four for DSM. Strong ruler. He pulls off that break. He was blocking it, not contributing to it, to go back and work for Case Bowl. And I was shocked by it, honestly. I thought, we saw the other day, he got third in a stage, right? It's still better than what Case Bowl's doing from a break. So, yeah, I think Casper Pedersen should have helped. Benji and I are going to talk about DSM later. But what was the next move to, or maybe the last move to be brought back, Benji, with, say, 10, 12 Ks to go?
Well, I know it included Bissiger and Gilbert, but I honestly forgot the third rider. But they actually held on for quite a bit, and it's been like that for quite a while now, that those three riders or those four riders that get away at that point are like pushing really hard to try and survive, and it's like 20 seconds the entire Champs-Élysées portion. And, well, I feel like Deceuninck was already spending energy in the last 10 kilometers trying to close that down. I don't know which was the first one. I think Davenant was trying to control it. They had the Clerc pace as well during the entire Champs-Élysées section, setting up tempo behind those riders. So they clearly were looking for a sprint or perhaps a sneaky bit of an attack as well in the last portion with Asgreen, if that suited at that point. But in all honesty,
mate, we're not the DS. There's no way ever. Imagine.
I said it yesterday. They will never do that.
The Queen would fly to Udnarda, where's the service course of Quickstep, and she would beat the shit out of Patrick Lefebvre if they attacked with Asgreen. Brian Holm would have to defend Lefebvre against
just her. Just for him to win the sprint in the background, Cavendish.
Yeah. Again, I'm tired after the end of this tour, as you can tell. So what I did notice, though, was the Quickstep train was a little bit jumbled. Alaphilippe had to take over with like 4 or 5 Ks to go. He was then done early. Ballerini, I think, might have had a mechanical as well. Cavendish had been sitting deep for a lot of the time, 6 Ks to go, totally normal, moves up, and then they got sort of four guys left with 3 Ks, 4 Ks to go. The problem was they were being helped by, by Alps and Phoenix doing a lead out, but then their guy pulls off. And now we're into like 2 Ks, 1,500 meters to go, maybe a little bit more, 2.5. And Quickstep don't take it up, which is a choice. And we've seen them do this in other stages, not just in the Tour de France, where they have the four guys, they want the fourth guy to start at 1,600, 1,500, and that's what they're going to do. And they're going to try and hold position until before then rather than burn him at 3 Ks to go. That's what they did at Scheldeprijs with Van Leeuwenhoek, pulling at like 3 Ks to go, and then they got cooked with Merkel on the front with 800 meters to go. But the problem, Benji, is literally every team decided to absolutely launch it and move up, right? Who was there?
Exactly. I think one of the early attacks was Kwiatkowski with Thomas in the wheel. Yeah. That didn't really get a gap. Quickstep was quick to respond to something like that. But I think the biggest move was when Pollitt decided to move to the left side of the road with, I think, Purstelberger on his wheel, the one you mentioned yesterday for a potential late attack, and Pollitt hammered it, straight up hammered it. And I saw half of the team of the Koenig just moving back, the ones you just said, the ones that you're there, that they're trying to keep for the last 1,600 meters. And you know then that Cavendish is not really in the first 10 riders anymore, first 15, then he's like 20th position, 25th going into the last like kilometer and a half. So they're going to have to try and move past by the end. But it was EF that took control together with one rider from Cofidis, so I'm guessing for Cort Nielsen and also for Laporte, those two riders, and also the team of Matthews also, but I don't remember them actually taking the front. I think they were in the wheel of the EF rider that was pushing them towards that tunnel. And that's when we saw on the left side of the road, Deceuninck hopelessly trying to get Cavendish back to the front.
Yeah, and they did an okay job. This wasn't a completely like disaster where like sometimes in the Giro, Benji Ewan is like 50th wheel with 500 meters to go with three guys around him, and you're like, what's going on here? But the difference was the De Koenig guys are all spread out. We've got 1,100 meters to go, 1,200. We're about to enter the chicane. They've got one man on the front, and there's an Intermarché rider for Van Poppel, Moritz for Fred Wright, I think, or Cole Brelli, who's not even there. And then there's another De Koenig rider. Then there's Wout, but then there's Tournesen in front of Van Aert, lovely positioned fifth and sixth wheel. And then I think there's Mirko in front of Cavendish on the right-hand side of it. So that's actually not a disaster, Benji. Think about UAE, where it was just Mirko and Bennett, right, sometimes, and Mirko would just come up in the last 300. Paris-Nice, I think one of the stages he did something similar. So that's not a disaster. The problem was I think Wout van Aert and Tournesen had the better line on the left-hand side. They were on then the right, and then they move into the chicane where you want to go. You turn to the left and then turn right. And Cav got squeezed a bit back, and then he was entering that chicane sixth wheel. Again, not a disaster, but he's now he's in front of Mirko. So I'm struggling to see because the way the camera shot it, how he slides in front of Mirko. Maybe that was just the plan at that point where they made a decision, hey, this is not going ideally, but I'll put your Wout van Aert's wheel, fifth wheel going into, you know, it's 500, 600 meters to go. That's fine. And that's what happened. So going to that right-hander, Intermarché rider leading out for, and then there's, I don't even know who the Quickstep guy was, but it's basically then Tournesen, Van Aert, Cavendish, and then on the right is the Rickard and Philipsen sort of doing their own thing, eating a lot of wind. And when you saw that position, Benji, like, how is that different, that setup to a lot of the sprints we've seen so far?
Well, the big difference is that Cavendish is now behind other sprinters, behind Wout van Aert. And in the past, every single sprint we've had so far, he was basically in front of these sprinters due to the help of their team. And I think the only sprint that doesn't apply to is the first one he won. Yes. Where he was, I think, in the wheel of Buhani or Philipsen. Philipsen, sorry. Yes, Buhani was in third wheel after Cavendish going into that final bend. And then he was able to go past Philipsen, but Van Aert is not Philipsen. We've seen already that Van Aert, when he launches early, he's very strong, and he launched relatively at a decent length from the finish line to not really allow Cavendish to like just straight up go past him there. And it did help him. And I think that from that point onwards, we just had a sprint between the lines. We had Wout van Aert trying to open it early, Cavendish in second wheel, and Philipsen also trying to go for it.
Yeah, and Mike Tournesen did a magnificent job for Wout van Aert today. I mean, he launched from like 450, 500 and dropped. He left that signature, you know, just left enough space on his left-hand side for Wout van Aert to fit through. And the whole time, the minute I saw it, I was like, Wout, keep the door shut, which is, you think, keep the door shut, Lanton, why are you advocating for dirty sprinters tactics? No. Wout van Aert's on the barrier or sprinting, launching his sprint on the barrier. And then you've basically got Tournesen, if he keeps sprinting, which you often see Mirko do, blocking his right. Cavendish on his wheel to the left-hand side. He's boxed in with Philipsen on his right, Wout in front of him, and then the barrier to his left. So Wout just needs to keep sprinting in a straight line, which he does with the not much space to the barriers. Philipsen has to come around the right-hand side of Tournesen, and he came pretty quickly, and it might have affected his sprint a lot, Philipsen, and then comes back, and he's the big difference that boxes in Cavendish as well. And just this reminded me of Tirreno stage one a lot, Benji. When Wout van Aert opens early from the front, even with people behind him,
yep,
he's super fast, and he beat Ewan there. It reminded me of one of his sprint wins last year, and just an incredible win from Wout van Aert. He timed his bike throw terribly, and it was just a fantastic win from him after winning the TT yesterday, after winning the Vantoux stage. What's that now, Benji? Four wins for Jumbo-Visma at the Tour and second on GC. But how impressed were you? Like, is this what you've been asking Van Aert to do all Tour, I guess?
Well, it depends. On the sprint stage, we wanted him to go for these kind of sprints to take their opportunity. When it comes to the initial mountain stage, we were a bit like, oh, we need some support for Vingegaard as well. And at least some rider needs to stay behind. They eventually got away with a Vantoux victory while having a rider or two behind for Vingegaard. That was perfect. Then the next mountain stage was a bit, they have all riders in the breakaway, and that was a bit dangerous, but it's a risky move that paid off gloriously. So perfect move there, Gus eventually ends up winning that stage. And I think that they played their cards pretty damn well with the cards they were given. The first week was devastating for them, and Tony Martin hit the ground about 70 times. Yeah. So that's really unfortunate. And like, ironically, this Tour de France has a better outcome than last year's for them. And then they had
it's crazy. They had one lead out, man. They had one guy to do the lead out, and he's fourth wheels in the right hander on Champs-Élysées. Yeah. And this is why it's just a different stage to a normal road stage. And yeah, perfect from Tennyson. Wout van Aert couldn't stop thanking him in the interview afterwards. And I think Wout, he said in the interview, it's almost a shame I've won because I got a flight to Tokyo and I'm going to have to do interviews for 6 hours now afterwards. That's what he said to the English press. But yeah, let me just do the final stage results just quickly. I know we're always terrible at that housekeeping. Belgian 1-2, duo boxing in Cavendish, Van Aert, then Philipsen, Cavendish. Mezgets was leading out Matthews, but Matthews couldn't get out of his wheel. Mezgets came fourth. Greipel fifth. That's actually quite nice for Greipel. Fifth is a good result. Van Poppel sixth also, then Matthews Aramburu, Siddel Barta, Valscheid 10th. I don't want to keep being so negative, but the reason I brought up the Casper Pedersen thing is because, you know, Casebolt did end up coming 21st. So it's not worth it to me to be doing what they did with Casper Pedersen.
Yeah, I agree.
Cole Brelli 13th as well. Like, Benji, do you think Bahrain think Cole Brelli can win flat bunch sprints? Because he can't.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious to us as well. Like, at this point, he's a better climber than a sprinter. And that's harsh to say, but it's true.
He's Diego Ulissi, but better.
That's actually a good point.
Maybe a little bit less good on the steep stuff.
A weird comparison, but it kind of makes sense. he's the ultimate climbing sprinty boy right now, if you don't count Van Aert, because Van Aert's more than a climbing sprinty boy.
He's pretty good. All right, we're going to do, obviously, the Tour de France proper recap tomorrow, and that might be out either tomorrow or Tuesday, depending on how organized I am. And so we'll do all the GC, the jerseys, and all of that sort of stuff then. But I think, yeah, anything else to take away from this stage, Benji? Anything you've seen on Twitter? Anyone announce any snap retirements? Maybe we'll talk on a more super competitivity.
Yeah, deserves it. It was apparently between him and Wout van Aert. And I feel like Frank Bonnemoer has been in lots of breakaways. He did very well. He kind of comes in unexpected because I didn't see it coming that he was so good. Like, quite genuinely, I thought he was a French rider on B&B hotels, and that's all I knew from him. And now I know that he can climb decently. He's got a decent flat base because he attacked again today together with Gauthier. That shows the combativity of that rider. And he went on the podium today with super combativity, and I'm happy about it because, well, you could say, I think that part of it is also that Wout van Aert won so much next to it that they're like, let's give this to the guy end up with anything. Because Wout van Aert obviously deserves it too, but I think Bonnemoer deserves it more because he didn't get the outcomes he hoped, but was always combative to try and get it. And that's what I enjoy from it a lot. But all in all, it's awesome to see another Belgian win on the Champs-Élysées. And I do want to kind of remind you all that we are very thankful of your support during this Tour de France. This is the final stage, but we're going to recap another thank you for the recap podcast. But I already wanted to say thank you a lot because this was another journey, our second Tour de France at LRCP.
Yeah, no, second Tour de France, first Olympics coming up. We'll obviously have an Olympics preview dropping on Wednesday and then recaps of the men and women's races separately in the ITT will be one podcast. I believe I sort of organized all that today. We've got Clásica San Sebastián coming up quickly, then straight into the Vuelta. It never stops. It's crazy.
European Championships, World Championships, when's that?
European. Oh, Jesus. I always forget they exist. all right. We hope you've been enjoying the podcast. If you have enjoyed all our Tour de France recaps, big thing you can do to help the channel, which is free, is obviously subscribe to the YouTube channel or subscribe to the podcast on your relevant podcast player or give us a review. I actually really love the podcast reviews. Most of them are trolling me. They have memes. Yeah, they're actually hilarious. It's compared to the size of the podcast and how long it's been out, it's crazy to see that support. So if you could review us as well, that's great. But most of all, thanks to LePole for supporting the podcast. They produce performance cycling apparel. And as I said, use code LRTDF20 if you want to get 20% off their kit during the Tour de France. But until the recap tomorrow, ciao.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.